Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3, and I'm going to look again at verse 1. When Jesus said, "You have a name that you live and are dead." My, can you believe that this pastor, a pastor of a Pentecostal church, was dead? How did this happen? How could a Pentecostal preacher die? And as a result, the church dies. You do know that all of these seven churches that John sent a letter to were Pentecostal churches. So were the seven churches that Paul wrote letters to. They were all Pentecostal churches. At one time, they were thriving, alive with the Spirit and power of the Holy Ghost. But as time went on, things began to change. Heresies began to infiltrate the church. So how do we know? The Bible gives us a clear example of a Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-baptized church in the book of 1 Corinthians. Even though this Pentecostal church had problems, it was still thriving. It only needed some guidance in how the Spirit works, which was given by the Apostle Paul. And friend, Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-baptized churches today are still experiencing some of the same problems as these 13 churches did, which we read about in the Bible. And for that very reason, Paul said in Ephesians, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Isn't that a wonderful promise? These ministries of the Holy Spirit will always be in the church till we all come into the unity of the faith. Do you think that we are all in the unity of the faith? I think not. I read somewhere one time that the American Banking Association sponsors a 2-week training program to help tellers, bank tellers, to detect counterfeit bills. The program was unique. Never during the 2-week training did the tellers ever look at a counterfeit bill, nor did they listen to any lectures concerning the characteristics of counterfeit bills. All they did for 2 weeks was handle authentic currency hour after hour, day in and day out, until they were so familiar with the true currency that they could not possibly be fooled by the false. We need to study, meditate, and apply God's word until we are so familiar with it that we cannot be fooled by anything less than the real truth. Listen to what Job says. "Cannot my taste discern perverse things? For the ear tests his words as the mouth tastes his meat." Job is saying, as my mouth can taste rotten meat, so my ears can detect a rotten doctrine. If it doesn't have the ring of truth, my ears will detect this. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, in verse 15, Jesus warns us to beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raven wolves. This verse tells us that some would come to us looking just like we look. They dress the way we dress. They walk the way we walk. They have that form of piety, yet inwardly they are raven wolves. And then he says, many shall come in my name, saying I am Christ, and shall deceive many. What this verse tells me are that they are some who will come in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and they will preach to you that Jesus is Christ and shall deceive many. In my opinion, these are the most deadly to the true child of God, those who come in the name of the Lord and admit that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Savior. They will come and get your ear by telling you this and then proceed with their false doctrine. Paul said, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of godliness. From such turn away. If they have the form of godliness, but they deny the power of godliness, turn away from them, because godliness is more than a form. Godliness is power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. For of this sort are they which creep into houses. Privately shall they bring in damnable heresies, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. My, my. I remember two lads knocked on my door one day, and when I answered, the first thing they said was, sir, we would like to come in and talk to you about Jesus Christ. I said, of course, I'm always willing to talk about Jesus Christ. But I learned later, as we sat and talked, that they were not that interested in talking about Jesus Christ. Their main purpose for entering into my house was to promote a book written by Joseph Smith. They didn't want to promote Jesus and his mercy and grace and forgiveness. They wanted to promote a book. They called it the Book of Mormon. They talked a lot like I talk. They used the same phrases that I use. They even said they believed in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. But neither one of them had ever done such. So I asked them, have you ever read the Bible, the inspired Word of God, from cover to cover? And each one of these men said, no, sir, we've not read that book. So I said to them, and you're going to tell me about Jesus Christ? That conversation didn't continue much further, as you can imagine. This is what verse 5 of chapter 7 speaks to me. They came to my house in the name of Jesus and tried to deceive me. Others have come to my house and told me that they were from the real church of the Lord Jesus Christ and that they wanted to talk to me about my soul. These were men who wanted to be the sole authority over my salvation, over my life, in how I walked, talked, and dressed. They tried to intimidate me in order to make me feel guilty if I did not accept what they were telling me. They even told me that water baptism was the born-again experience. How far off from Scripture can you actually be? Christians, we need to read the Word of God, meditate on it, and apply it to our lives. We need to become so familiar with God's Word that we cannot be fooled by those who would come to us in the name of Christ.